At that time, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem one day inquiring, "Where is your newborn King of the Jews? We observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." At this, King David was greatly troubled, and with him all of Jerusalem. Summoning the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he questioned them as to where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem," they informed him. "This is what the prophet has written: And thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, shall not be least among the princes of Judah, for from you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." The king called the magi aside and determined from them the exact time of the star's appearance. And then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and get detailed information about the child. And when you have found him, report it back to me so that I too can go and pay him homage." When the magi left and set out, the star which they had seen at its rising went before them until it came to a standstill. Over the place where the child was. And on entering the house, they found Mary and the child. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Opening their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Receiving a message in a dream not to return to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Every Sunday, every feast in the church, there's one lesson that's given, one theme. And of each time that you come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, you walk away with that one lesson You would be deep in the knowledge of God. The message of the Feast of the Epiphany is very simple. Saint Matthew, already in the second chapter, had to relate it immediately. And that was Jesus was not just for one nation, but for all nations, for all peoples. The gates of heaven are to be opened, not just for a few, but for people of every land, of every continent, every country, will see the light of Jesus Christ. And so once you have that message, then that's fine. But we do notice details, and that was the way that the Lord revealed that Jesus was for all nations, in bringing the Magi from faraway countries. But they didn't come empty-handed. They didn't come into Bethlehem and say, "Thanks for the kingdom. We'll see you in heaven." But they brought their gifts. They brought sacrifice to the Lord. They came to pay homage. It's interesting how Herod says, "I want to pay homage too." And the homage was the furthest thing from his mind. Be very careful when you walk into this holy place. You're standing on holy ground. And don't say, "Oh, I like to pay homage too." And it's far from your mind as you look at your watch and wonder when it's going to be over. "We just went to Mass yesterday. How come we have to come today?" And you say, you call that homage? Line up with Herod and his soldiers and his mockers and his persecutors. If everything that we do could be from our heart, why do it? St. Paul says we are the most foolish of people if we don't do it from our heart, because we're doing it. You might as well get the blessing. You might as well get the reward. You might as well get the peace, the prosperity, the health, the kingdom of God. Why would you go through all of this and receive a curse? A curse comes to those who give when it's not from the heart. And so you bring your sacrifice like the Magi, whatever it is, coming from far. And so besides the lesson that Jesus has come for all of us, I would like to point out something that I'm afraid that many of you still don't comprehend. That whereas he got gold and frankincense and myrrh, it was the kings who were blessed with gifts. They are the ones that were blessed, even though they had to sacrifice, come from faraway countries, and ride on those dumb camels, in bad weather, and going through enemy land, not having enough food. And the moment they saw Jesus Christ, they were blessed. See, he can't even wait to get there. And we have to understand that. We got the example of our... he was caught by the lights. That's how you do it. The people coming from Juarez, Mexico. It's just an awesome thing. It blows my mind. And I sinned. I thought it was such a terrible sacrifice to ask these young people to give up Christmas with their family and go feed the poor and work with the poorest of the poor. A 36-hour trip. And the lights go out and they can't drive at night.
So it becomes a 50-60 hour trip. Sickness. The sickness goes through the whole bus. They all get sick, or most of them. Or when they got back. And yet, like Stephen says, no regrets. They say it over and over again. I was the one that was blessed. I went to give, and I was blessed. That's what you have to understand. That the kings that stayed home with their kingdom and all their servants and fine food and whatever it is that kings get were not blessed. But the ones who sacrificed everything were blessed. You have to experience that. And on this Feast of the Epiphany is the time that I tell you what the Lord asks in sacrifice. He said, I'll give you 100% and I want 10% back. You can use 90 for yourself, but don't touch that tenth. And it's called a tithe. And you're teaching that to your children. And we are blessed. I don't check or haven't checked the contributions in the parish, not even the bills. I'm not involved in money. But since we asked the children to come up with sacrifice, because I was assured in a teaching that if the children sacrifice, the Lord will multiply that contribution. So I have been checking to see if. And we have been blessed Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And not only are the families of the children who are teaching this blessing us, but they are the ones who are being blessed. Someone said, aren't you embarrassed to ask the poor to give more? To give 10% and they hardly have enough for themselves? It was hard the first time. That was 37 years ago. It was hard by the time I got to St. Mary's. You remember, Luella. But I said it. You sat in my office with Larry. What are we going to do? We can't make ends meet. And I said, give more. Give more. Oh, they swallowed hard. They must have thought I was a young, cocky... They must have known I was a young, cocky priest back then. And they did it. Embarrassed? No. No, it's still a little hard. I still swallow hard. But I know by now that His Word is absolutely true. I was offering Mass for Mother Teresa and Dad just before Christmas, anointing them with their monthly sacrament of the sick. And the reading was so beautiful. Where the humble people, He said, I will raise up and I will bless them with the best of everything. And the mighty and the powerful will be brought down low. And I looked around. It was the response after the first reading. And as I'm looking around, the beautiful life that they have, raised between them 23 children, were poor, but were blessed. They were the ones who were blessed. It was Mom and Dad that taught me tithing and each one of their children, the importance of it. And the fireplace was burning and the house was... It's not a big house, it's a simple house, but more than adequate and immaculately clean. And there was food. And there was health. For Dad at 92. And there was love. I said, Lord, it's true. You lifted up these humble people. And they live like kings. But the powerful and the mighty you've brought down. That's why I say this sacrifice is so absolutely important. Remember when we started, very simply, it's been maybe 2 months now, where I asked you not to bring forward leftovers. I mean, after all, you were here at Mass yesterday. Now here you again, we got to bring a sacrifice. You know, gee, I didn't think of anything. Second thought. You don't bring second thought to sacrifice to God. You don't bring leftovers. You don't open your bill and say, well, what we got here? We got to put this aside for breakfast. We're going to brunch. And we got to put this. Okay, we can afford to give this to God. You don't bring what you can afford to God. And the moment we ask you to stop, to stay in your pew, don't come forward. Just because everybody comes forward, it began to be multiplied. I used to really hurt you on this feast. Every year, I used to promise that those of you that don't tithe, that if you stepped forward and said, I'm going to do it God's way, I'm going to tithe. And I promised you at the end of the year, if you were not ahead in every way, I would give you back. I don't care if you gave $5,000 that year, I would give it back to you. Not one person in 37 years has come back. Everyone proclaimed the blessing of God. We came close once. There was one of you that owned a factory, and he was tithing on everything from the factory, and the factory was going down. January was the worst month they ever had. February, March, it wasn't going up at all. They weren't having production. It was down. December came. He says, I'm calling Father. And it was more than $5,000 that they had tithed. I'm going to get it all back. And by the third week, in December, Frank, you know how the Lord works at the last moment? He turned it all around. In those last 2 weeks of December, they were blessed more than they were in the first 11 months. And he said, darn it, I can't get anything from Father. Well, I'm not going to do that anymore. One thing I did compliment you this much. Whenever I come to a parish, it's got to be your sacrifice. Some parishes in the past, we don't see it today, but some parishes used to be supported by games of bingo and lottery and festivals. And if the people are having fun giving, then they'll give. Or if they got a chance to win, you know, maybe they'll become wealthy. I'll give $50. I'll give $100. Maybe I'll win. Maybe I'll be a millionaire. I'll get that brand new car. That'll be my donation. That wasn't a donation, was it? Where is he? Let me find out where he is so that I can pay him homage. And they called that homage. No. And I said, no, we wouldn't do it here. Look how many people we have here. And it's been this way. You know why the numbers are going down? You know why people are moving to Tupelo and Steubenville and leaving us right and left? He's making room for our neighbors who are going to fill this church. There's room for more people here. I know of people that could fill this church. There's 40,000 Spanish-speaking Catholics in Grand Rapids that have a little tiny church that takes care of maybe 1,000 of them. They're going to fill this church. Look at the few people that we have and how generous you have been. God has blessed us. And so I'm no longer going to tell you, those of you who are just beginning or you'll try it another year to tithe, I'm not going to tell you, you're going to get it back. I'm not going to pay you back. Put that in your mind. You're not going to get your money back at the end of the year if you are not 100 times more blessed. I'm going to let you do it out of faith that you're going to get your reward from God. And when you put that tithe in there, you're not thinking, well, it's hard, but I'm going to get it all back. You're going to put that tithe in that basket and say, it's hard, but I'm going to get it all back from God.
not from Father. I don't want it from Father. I want it from God. Watch the blessings that will come to you. And so everything we do, whether it's bringing our offering, we do it from our heart. Don't do it because everybody else does it. That's one of our problems. And it starts with First Communion. When everybody receives communion because they're in second grade and everybody in the class receives First Communion. And you start getting in line and everybody does what everybody else does. And you've got to stop it. I do it because God has called me to do it. And if nobody else stood, I would be the only one to come forward. And we do this with everything. The offertory, the sign of peace. Don't give the sign of peace unless you've got the peace of Jesus to give. Otherwise you're putting a curse upon the person on your right and left. Seek the peace of Jesus Christ. Then you can give it. And of course, if it's important that you prepared yourself for the offertory, imagine how important it is that you prepare yourself for the Eucharist. And if there's a curse for giving leftovers to God according to Malachi, so there is a curse for those who come forward to receive the Eucharist in mortal sin, as we see in Corinthians 11. Make sure that everything you do, singing, "We praise you, O Lord," that it comes from your heart. Bringing your offertory, that it comes from your heart. Offering peace, that it comes from your heart. Receiving the Eucharist, that heart was prepared. God is blessing us in great abundance. Continue. Watch the peace and the love that He has for each and every one of you and your children. We have come to pay Him homage from our heart. Please stand.